Thank you, Steve. As Steve indicated, I need to run to another session as soon as I'm done speaking here. So what you do notice, though, on this title slide is that a good chunk of the IP&I staff are co-authors. And so if there are questions that we don't get to here, the staff probably know this project better than I do, so feel free to ask them. It is a joint effort between IP&I and PAQ Interactive that helps us with the GIS work. And what we're going to do is look at one way of assessing nutrient use efficiency. And this is a very data-intensive project. So what my objective really is here is to just give you a sampling of what we're doing. And this is sort of a work in progress yet. And so we're looking for feedback. So if you've got some of this that you think is really stupid, let us know now, because we can do things differently in the future. Why did we start this nutrient budget related project? Well, for a number of reasons. When you think about the contemporary issues that we're facing today and the changes that are taking place, there are a lot of ways that nutrient budgets on the farm can get altered. You can think of the market impact on nutrient use as one. You can think of climate change. You can think of genetic changes in the crop. And then in that box, you see a number of aspects of bioenergy that can also influence nutrient budgets and what we're removing and how much we're removing. And then, of course, government policy can come in and impact all of those. So we call this our NUGIS project. It's the acronym stands for Nutrient Use or Nutrient GIS. Our objectives are listed to generate maps down to the county and watershed level for NP and K. And in the process, we'll generate maps of nutrients and harvested crops, nutrients from excreted and recoverable manure, fertilizer applied, nutrient budgets, removal to use ratios, and a number of additional applications, and trying to interface with other data sets, some that might be generated from application of sparrow, for example. So we're trying to develop a data set that is open to use and merger with other data sets. Because we need ag census data, we're limited to a data point every 5 years, and we're looking across the 20-year period, so every 5 years we've got basically 5 data points to look at temporal trends. Data sources for nutrients and harvested crops, we're looking at NASH data for production, generally taking 3 years and averaging them to kind of smooth out the remember, we're down at a county level at some of this on some of this, so we need to smooth out a bit over time. A nutrient removal coefficients that we've published, Scott Morrell has on his website, that really trace back to extension publications. Manure nutrients, we use Ag Census data. We use the Kellogg process for getting at manure nutrients. For fertilizer applied, APCO as the source of state data, and then APCO also as the source for county data. Unless the county APCO data are not available, then we go to the census data that tells us dollars sold, a dollar value of fertilizer sold in a county, and then we allocate the state total then to counties based on the sales figures. And then we use the tricks of geospatial techniques to migrate that county data to 8-digit hydrologic unit data, or HUCs, and then aggregate that back up to watershed regions that are, again, targeted by sparrow and some other applications. We'll start by just throwing in front of you the fertilizer consumption data. And then on top of that, we'll superimpose the 5 data points that we're going to be looking at. So you have to recognize where we are in this evolution of fertilizer use in the U.S. and recognize what period of time we are sampling across. Also note that we are not capturing any of the reduction in fertilizer use that was market-induced here at the end in this last year in 2009 and somewhat in 2008. So this is prior to these latter adjustments. So we'll start by trying to establish some national trends. And the two graphs you see here represent, on the left, the actual budget numbers, and we're defining the budget here as fertilizer use plus recoverable manure plus N fixation versus removal by the crop. So when we do the arithmetic over on the left graph, you see the nitrogen line as being basically flat line. We haven't changed that balance at all in 20 years. phosphorus a little bit with a negative slope. We've gone down a little bit in that. Still a positive budget nationally, approaching that zero point. Then potassium, we started negative and got more negative. Then if you shift over to the right graph, you'll see removal to use ratios. So if you look at this 1.1, what that is telling you is that we're removing 10% more potassium in that case as K2O than we're applying as fertilizer or is available as recoverable manure. And so when you look at removal to use ratio for K, you can see that we went from 1.1 to 1.3 over this 20-year period. For phosphorus, we went from 0.8 to a little above 0.9, still in this surplus budget environment, but getting closer to a zero as far as the country is cold is concerned. And then nitrogen, 0.75 up to about 0.8. Now, those data in themselves don't really tell us a whole lot because of the spatial variation, and that's what we're trying to capture in this project, is the spatial variation that exists across the country, and that is illustrated for potassium here. To make sense out of this map, we have to first start with the legend down here, and you'll notice that the green areas represent low removal to use ratios, small numbers, which means then that use is greater than removal. Okay, those are the green areas. Normally they're kind of yellow. It doesn't really look yellow anymore to me on this particular projection. But the intermediate color that is really odd. It's actually appearing as sort of a greenish color, but that's the area that we're considering to be a balanced zone. And then these are supposed to all be various tones of red. But again, it's not quite coming out that way. But I think it still comes across in the map where you can see what's going on. So over in the red areas, removal exceeds use. And really not a lot of surprises here if you stop and think about what's going on. In the western U.S., of course, you see a lot of red areas. Not surprising, very high soil test for K. We don't use a lot of K in many of those areas. Then as you get into the western edge of the Corn Belt, we see numbers that would suggest K removal exceeds use by 10 to 20%. And then if you get down into the southeast area, K use is actually about twice what we're removing. Again, if you think of soil properties, maybe not too surprising. These are soils with low CECs, don't hold potassium well, and so typically, again, not surprising that you'd be applying more than is used. Now, here I'm going to get into one of the first gremlins that appears in the process. The map you see here shows dollars spent on fertilizer from the census. That map shows estimated phosphorus fertilizer sales, now taking it down to a county level, and still in our judgment that map looks reasonable, but the problem is with this map. And the problem, an illustration of the problem is in that blue circle. You'll notice that these are supposed to be county data, but you do see a rather abrupt change when you hit the state line. That is largely an artifact of our process of going from the census data and then allocating going from the state APCO data and then allocating that to counties based on fertilizer sales in the county, because that forces you to assume the same N to P to K ratio across the whole state. And if you go to the part of the country where you have gradients of soil test levels across the state, as we have here, well, we know that most of the potassium in South Dakota is applied on along those eastern counties. Same is probably true down in Nebraska. But we assume that the potassium, the N to P to K ratio is the same across the whole state. So that's problematic, and we'll talk more about that a little bit later. Here's another way of looking at the data. I just pulled N. Again, I'm giving you a flavor for what's in this data set. Here we're looking at the aggregated data back up to hydrologic region, and so you see various numbers across here. I'm sorry about time, but we're just going to have to roll right through this because 12 minutes goes by in a big hurry. Here's the phosphorus map. Now we're back looking at the HUCs, the eight-digit units, and as you can see there. I thought maybe it was just my angle of view. The monitor here shows much different than what the projector. So it's going to be, I've got to kind of guide my way through the interpretation here. If you look at the area in the Corn Belt, that looks like it's sort of it's normally peach colored, but I don't know what that color. It's sort of a light green. That takes you down and just match it up with the legend, and we'll be okay. That's 1.10 to 2 as a removal to use ratio. So that would mean a negative budget. We're removing more across much of that area than is being applied. And so the question that comes to mind is that something new, or has it been happening for a while? And here's a trend analysis for the three I states, Iowa, Illinois, and Indiana. And then that gray area across the middle is again, that zone that we say we can't tell whether that's different than zero. And so if you look at what's happening here in those I states, we've got fairly high removal to use ratios for all of them, especially more recently for Illinois. And again, so if you're seeing that in those states, a logical question to ask is, are we seeing those being reflected in declining soil test levels? And so what I've done here is pulled out the data from the 2001 and 2005 soil test summaries for the area. And the line represents the crop year that is represented there. And so those lines are going through areas where we've got negative budgets. And what do you see? Well, there's the Iowa number in red, the Illinois number in green. No difference in the soil test level. If you look at Indiana, you see a four part per million drop. So we did pick up a decline there, but not in Iowa and Illinois. And so the question is, what's going on? Why does that occur? Why are these two data sets not really agreeing all that well? Well, the first thing I'll do is take you through just some calculations here for those I states. And if you just look at the red number that represents the balance, the most negative number comes from Illinois, a minus 20. And if you'll allow me to take some license here and use just a very general rule of thumb, and that is that about 18 pounds of P2O5 is required to change a Bray or Malic 3 by about a part per million. If you do the arithmetic on that, what that says is that on a single year basis, the soil test level should have declined about a part per million. 5 years, 5 parts per million. Well, we didn't pick up any change. And so this says, well, levels change slowly when you're looking at these budgets. These soils are highly buffered. But then you also have to take into account some other possibilities here. And that's what I wanted to spend a little time on here. I call these P budget uncertainties. And we start with the removal coefficients. In this process, the typical value used by extension is 0.38. That's a really kind of an average number. That's 0.38 pounds of P2O5 per bushel. That's what generated the 1.6 for the state of Illinois. And we're going through a sensitivity analysis for Illinois in this particular slide. We can go to feedstuff data. That's online. And if you look at that for 2008, they have a table that's on their website that says that if you do the calculations, it comes to 0.34. So that's a little bit lower. That would drop the Illinois value to 1.49. And then we've got some data sets that have come in from our university cooperators in the Western Corn Belt, where if you do a simple arithmetic mean, you'll come up with a value of 0.26. And so there's a fair bit of uncertainty in estimating removal. So clearly that could be a source of error here. We're not accounting for subsoil changes in fertility. That could be another issue. We're not accounting for soil organic matter, organic P changes. That's another one. And there's no accounting of phosphorus loss and erosion, which would take you back the other way. So these are indeed partial budgets, and we need to keep that in mind. Now, as you work with data sets like this, as probably any of you have, you start really appreciating all the gremlins running around in the data sets. And pretty soon you say, geez, what do I really have here, and what is it actually worth? And so we were actually very happy to see an independent report of removal to use ratios that we could calculate from Peter Batusik's paper in Science. Now, this is an ecologist. There are some agronomists involved in the list of authors on this paper, but this is a totally independent project with people that have probably different world views than those of us that were working on this project. And if you look at the right column there, where we're just talking about Midwest U.S. Oh, Steve's getting nervous already. What you can do is calculate a removal to use ratio for N and P. And if you do that, you come up with 0.94 and 1.64. Now, if you go to our NUGIS project and look at Illinois, We have 0.97 and 1.6. And so that said, well, maybe even with the gremlins, we're in the ballpark. But we do have a fair bit of work to do. So just to kind of refocus on what we think is a developing problem area, which is going to surprise a lot of people, I suppose, we look at our Corn Belt. And we look at changes that have taken place over the last 20 years, first in potassium. What you see if you compare the 87 map to the 2007 map is you see the elimination of most of the K surplus areas. I mean, there's been a significant amount of change there over that 20-year period. If you look at the phosphorus map, we went in 87 from phosphorus deficits and surpluses to mostly deficits. It really does look like we've got a fair bit of negative budgets across this Corn Belt. So in summary then, nutrient budgets are important to farmers and to society as an index of sustainability. So we think they're worth spending some time on. Getting right at a farm level, they have value, and at a much broader scale like we're trying to do here that has perhaps some policy implications, they also have some value. There are weaknesses in our approach. We need better data on crop nutrient removal coefficients. We could use more support from the Ag Census if they would tell us not just total fertilizer sales, but actually sales of N, sales of P, sales of K. That would add great value to their information. And APCO, if we could get down to county level more frequently so we could compare the Ag Census estimates to the APCO sales data, that would be also a very useful thing. Removal is increasing faster than nutrient use nationally and in some key production areas. And we would say that most of the Corn Belt appears to be mining soil P. Many areas appear also to be mining soil K. And so P and K use efficiency expressed as partial nutrient balance appears unsustainably high in at least part of that area. And that just points us back, not just for the Corn Belt, for the country as a whole. Intensive monitoring of soil fertility is, we think, a very critical BMP. Perhaps more important now because of market conditions and also agronomic conditions and environmental issues than indeed it has ever been. So with that, and kind of a whirlwind, I feel, is just a snapshot of what this new GIST project is about. Again, it's ongoing, so we're looking for input.
One quick question, maybe?
A slow question.
All right. Thank you, Paul. Thank you.